this day many people celebrate Christmas thinking this is the birthday of Jesus. To me, I would, my personal preference, to have a celebration every day of the year. All 365 days should be a day of celebration, having Jesus born in my heart and allowing Jesus to transform my life. For the benefit of everyone, I wish to share why I am not having a so-called celebration today like many others. First of all, Bible has not recorded the birth date of Jesus. God in his sovereignty thought that that day when he was accurate, when he was born, need not be recorded. Holy Spirit in his sovereignty decided not to record in the Bible. See, anyone can show me, I'd be grateful. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there many years, even after the day of Pentecost with the apostles. But we all know, being the mother, she knew the date of Jesus. Jesus was born. But even then, it is not recorded anywhere. So that's one thing. The second thing, I don't see anywhere in the Bible a commandment that thou shalt celebrate the birthday of Jesus, my son. God chose not to give it as a commandment. This is the second reason why I am not celebrating. Third thing is, I don't see anywhere in the four Gospels or in any of the epistles in the New Testament a single instance where the first century Christians, probably they knew Jesus' birthday through Mary, but still there is no record of anywhere that they celebrated the birthday of Jesus. And another logical reason is knowing the circumstantial evidence, it is most unlikely that Jesus was born during the cold winter season of December. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says that during that period, in those regions, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night. If it is a winter, cold winter, it is not possible. Neither the animals will be out, nor the shepherds would be out. So most likely it is believed that Jesus was born during sometime between March and September, probably September, not in that winter season. So there is no chance that Jesus was born on December 25th. And that is why I am not celebrating. And there is another historical reason. Yesterday, actually, I a little bit searched in the internet. So what we can all, you can, if you have interest in, want to explore those things, historical deed, we can do that for your knowledge. So we know that the Emperor Constantine made Christianity as the state religion of Rome in the 4th century. And when the Emperor declared this is a state religion, multitude of people, for fear of the Emperor became so-called Christian by name. I am a Christian to say that, without any change of heart, without surrendering their life to Jesus. And at the same time, they did not want to give up their celebrations, etc. Actually, December 25th was that day the pagan people used to celebrate as a birthday of their sun god, S-U-N god, sun god. And when this entire country became so-called under the influence of the emperor, they changed the sun god's birthday. They decided, okay, let us celebrate, make it as the birthday of Jesus. So that is probably it happened. People started celebrating 25th December as a birthday of Jesus. So having said this, what is more important for us believers is not a celebration for the sake of celebration. on one day of the what is important is the place that we have given in our hearts to Jesus. This is the most important thing. And so we said that we are not celebrating Christmas. Have we become very great people? By not celebrating Christmas, we don't become spiritual at all. No difference. And people who celebrate Christmas, we cannot say they are also carnal. Probably they are ignorant. They are not aware. So we have no right to condemn them, belittle them. Even there are many well-meaning, very good believers who celebrate Christmas. It's fine. It's up to them. We have no business to condemn them or judge them, saying thing that they are doing something foolish. We have no right. Look after ourselves. That is what is important. And judging others is far more serious sin than celebrating Christmas itself. So let's keep that to heart. So today I just want to share some thoughts coming to my heart during these days. Some very fundamental things in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll read a passage from Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 17. Matthew chapter 16, 13 to 17. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? So Jesus asked his disciples, what people talk about me? How do you think who I am? What do you think who I am? Jesus asked. So what did the disciples reply? And they said, some say that Jesus, you are John the Baptist. Some others say that you are Elijah. And still others say that you are Jeremiah. And there are people who say that you are just one of the prophets. These are the impression many people had about Jesus the very time when Jesus was living on earth. So this implies that people can different understanding about Jesus. Some think that he was John the Baptist, others think is Jeremiah, others think is Elijah, and some others think he's just one of the prophets. This was the understanding they had, people had. But Jesus asked disciples one question. But what do you say that I am? What do you say that I am? First he asked what others say. Then Jesus came to them. What do you say that I am? This is important. This is what Jesus may like to ask each of us even today. What do you say that I am? What, in other words, what do me mean to you today? What do me, Jesus, mean to you today? This is a question which Jesus asked the disciples, which he can receive ourselves. So what is our answer? That time, Jesus answered. Simon Peter answered, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. So Simon Peter had the revelation. For Simon Peter, Jesus was not John the Baptist. Jesus was not Jeremiah. He was not Elijah. Neither he was any of the one of the prophets. To Simon Peter, Jesus was the Christ, the anointed, the Son of the living God. This he answered when Jesus told, to you, who you say that I am. So it's up to us to ask. Today if we ask, no, we need not say audibly answer. Ask to ourselves, what do Jesus mean to me? Who is Jesus? To Peter, he was the Christ, the anointed, the Savior, and the Son of the living God. To me, who is Jesus? Is it just like one of the prophets? Or some people celebrate Jesus as infant Jesus, a very small baby who doesn't harm anybody, no demands, no expectation. To mean different people, Jesus means to many. To me, what do Jesus? Who is Jesus? Can we say that he is Christ? He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is the Son of God. I know that. I have received him. I experience him. It's something challenging to us. And Jesus responded in response that in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Use the word reveal. But my Father who is in heaven. So knowing Jesus is a revelation. which we need to personally receive. It is not a hearsay. It is not some others say. Peter was got the revelation from Father, God the Father, Jesus being Christ, the Son of the living God. So we all need to receive that revelation. That need to happen to us. And we need to receive that experience. So very important to ask this question to each one of us in at a personal level. Who Jesus mean to me? Who is Jesus to me? Can I say that he is Christ, my anointed Savior? He is the Son of God to me. He is my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord and Master, my King. Another passage which means very much personal to me is John chapter 1, verse 12. I discovered this verse, by the way, when I was 18 years old, when I was a student. I had told this before. One of my classmates showed me this verse. Read like that. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So see, what I notice is, as many as received him. So this, my friend showed me these words and he asked me, Abraham, have you received Jesus to your life? I said, I am going to church every day with the family. I used to read the prayers written in the book and very religiously I do from my heart. But no one told me about the need that I should receive Jesus into my heart. I thought my parents were Christians, and for that reason I am also a Christian, I am a disciple. But he told me, look this verse, whoever received him, your parents might have received, but have you received? So that time I realized I had not received Jesus. So that day I surrendered my life and accepted Jesus, received Jesus as my Savior, as my Redeemer, as my Lord and Master of my life. So it's important to know Jesus. Each one of you might desire that you should have this assurance that each one of you have received at a personal level Jesus as your Lord. It applies to children also. The very early you receive Jesus into your life, the better. There's no age bar. It's a wonderful thing. God's invitation is applied to, and Jesus in a special way loves children and young people. So ask each one of you, ask yourself, have I received Jesus as my personal Savior? And in connection with a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 reads like this: sanctify Jesus as Lord in your hearts. This is something which we had to do. As I understood this, for many years I knew Jesus as just my Savior. Savior means the one who gladly would forgive my sin, will deliver me my sin. I understood it for years in my early years of my Christian. But a point came to my life when I realized that's not good enough. I need to sanctify Jesus as Lord in my life. Lord means the master. I no more the master of my life. I'll allow Jesus to be the Lord of my life. My thoughts, my career, my wealth, my life, my future, everything. Jesus is the master. I allow Jesus, I sanctify Jesus as the Lord in my heart. That's something which I learned. So it's very important to have Jesus. These are two actions which we need, something which we ourselves need to initiate in our own life. One is welcoming Jesus, receiving Jesus as our Savior. And second thing is, at the same time, allowing Jesus or sanctifying Jesus as Lord of my life. Not just a Savior. Not just someone who would forgive my sin, but allowing Jesus to be Lord of my every aspect of my life. And it's a blessed life. Hand over charge of your life to Jesus, and he would gladly take over our life. And it's a wonderful life to live. And with Jesus being the Lord of our life. So this is the second step we need to do. First thing is knowing who Jesus is to me. Second thing is allowing Jesus to be in your, to be your Savior and to be the Lord. And a third thing I want to there's an interesting passage in John chapter 3 which clarifies this. John chapter 3 verses 8, if you quickly read, this is an incident, a very interesting incident. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you." So having said that, Jesus answered and said to him, verse 3, see this. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's a very crucial thing. Jesus told very clearly, and Nicodemus, a learned person, maybe today's language, he is a PhD, we can say. But to him, Jesus is telling, you may have learned the scripture, you may know many things in your mind, but Jesus told, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There is a need for us to be born again. We know this term, being born again. It's good to ask, has it happened to me? Don't worry, in the church, in the fellowship, we are all welcome, but we all should know, I am born again. It's like our earthly, being a human being, we have a record of date of birth to get the documents, etc. But a date may not be important when it comes to spiritual rebirth. I know when I was born again. That is fine. But I would not expect everyone to know. For example, some of the children who grew up with a godly family, they may not necessarily remember a date when I was born again. So that date is not very important. But that has happened, that is extremely important. We all should have that assurance without any doubt that I am born again. Because unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it can happen. We have taken water baptism. We may be partaking in the breaking of the bread, but still we should ask. If you do not have that assurance of being born again, you should get that. Seek God for that assurance of being born again. And Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is, he is born of the flesh is flesh, and that is born of the spirit is flesh." And Jesus said in verse 7, "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Think about how Jesus is emphasizing that point. Do not be amazed that I said to you that you must be born again. So it's not a choice. It's not an option. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes and where it is going. So is the one who is born of this. What does it mean? Wind, you understand? Wind is, you cannot see wind. There is wind here, for example, mild wind. But we cannot see it. But how we know that there is wind here? It may be the effect of that. Or if there are leaves here, it may be moving, shaking because of the wind. So the wind cannot be. The effect or process of wind one can see. Wind itself one cannot see. So like that, when we are born again, by seeing your face, one cannot see probably. But seeing your life, one can make it, are you born again? Because that will change your life. Holy Spirit, when working in each one, it will bring out some change. There will be a newness in our spirit. Probably we can see even on our eyes. There may be a glow of in our life. You know, many things are visible also to some extent. But all the more, the work of the Holy Spirit is the transformation, change in our life will be visible. So let's ask this question ourselves. Am I born again? Don't worry, if you do not have that assurance even today, you can have it today. Right now, silently ask God, "Lord, grant me this assurance in my heart. I confess my sins. I receive you as my savior and king and the Lord. I want this assurance that I am born again. I am your child. Lord is so patient with all of us. A fourth thing is, in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, we read, Paul is telling my children, with whom I again labor until Christ is formed in you. Paul is expressing his deep desire. He's like a woman about to give birth to a child. That is the kind of pain and eagerness which he had towards the Galatian Christians. That, what was the desire? That Christ may be formed in you. That Christ may be formed in you. Christ may be born in each one of their life. Jesus have an access in their life. And their life may be changed. This was the desire, earnest desire of Paul. So this should be our desire as well. It is not an external thing, something to celebrate about. But that a matter of Christ being born inside me. And he is formed inside me. My conduct and character, I am transformed from inside out. This should be our desire. And Holy Spirit will be glad to bring about that change in our life if we surrender our lives to him. So these four things what I said are important. First thing is, I should know. People may be thinking many things about Jesus, but we should ask ourselves, what I think about Jesus. To me, Jesus is, who is Jesus? We should understand that revelation we should get. And second thing is, we should take that step of welcome him. Jesus said that I knock at the door. He is not, devil may gate crash, but Jesus will not. Unless we open our hearts, he will not enter. So we can receive, whoever receives him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. And we can receive and sanctify Jesus as Lord of our life. And third thing is the assurance that I am born again. I have a second birth, a spiritual rebirth. All of us are born physically, but we all need a spirit, second birth. Born again is a rebirth in our life, a regeneration in our life, an inside out change which Holy Spirit will perform in our life. And just like in the fourth thing, what Galatians told, Paul told about desired in the life of Galatians, that Christ may be formed in you. It is not an external celebration just one day, but accomplishing a change and transformation inside our life, that Jesus may be born inside you. Let this be our desire. So in conclusion, I want to say that we sing a song, Knowing You, Jesus, Knowing You, There Is No Greater Thing. That's a wonderful, beautiful song. So knowing Jesus, there is nothing greater than that. And we see in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is telling about the value of knowing Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So when I think about the knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, he's saying, I count all things as loss. Whatever may be my wealth or money, my fame, my skills or my ability, what I count it all, lost to me, when I view the surpassing value of knowing. So, knowing Jesus, do we see that surpassing value of knowing Jesus? There is nothing comparable. And he continues to say, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. When we see that value, we will be more than happy to suffer some losses. In the sense, suffer persecution, so being given up by people. But I know the value of knowing Jesus. So we will be willing to pay a price. And he also said that, I count them all but rubbish. All the great thing people think, I can easily think it rubbish. Good enough put into the dustbin when I see the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. May God help us make this a reality in our own personal life, and may God bless us.
God is speaking about how we can be born again. One thing was coming to my heart that I was also born in a Christian family, and being born in a Christian family, I had this doubt whether Jesus has accepted me, whether I am born again. For many years, I think I struggled with this for a long, long time. I always used to come to church, and I used to pray often that, Jesus, have you accepted me? Have you forgiven my sin? Am I going to heaven? All these things used to always bother me many times. And that was a big struggle for me to know whether Jesus has accepted me, whether I am a born-again person, whether I will go to heaven if I die today. That was a big struggle for me. And one thing I was doing was I used to pray, and then I used to check if my life is growing, if I am, like we heard that if you are born again, you should see the fruits of your life. So if after I receive Jesus, I will check whether Jesus has done something in my life, whether I am able to be an overcomer, whether sin is there, still there, or such things. When I see again that I am living that old life, nothing is changing, then I used to again have a doubt whether, so that thing, but what happened is, one day I was very desperate, and I asked Jesus that, today you have to give me that assurance that I am born again. I want that assurance. I will not leave you without that assurance. And Jesus spoke to me that your sins are forgiven. Though our sins are as red as scarlet, God will make it as white as snow. So on that spot, on that moment, when I got that assurance in my heart that Jesus had forgiven me, after that day till today, I have now never doubted that Jesus has accepted me. It is a wonderful thing that God has accepted us, not because we have, after we become something, we know that the prodigal son came to the father, and the father did not ask the prodigal son to live a life of goodness or do something for some years, then he will accept me. As soon as we come to Jesus, as we are, our Father just welcomes us, and that is that love we receive from our Father. Even after we are born again, maybe we don't see a visible change in our life, but what changes is our attitude to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to fall. Maybe I will fall 1,000 times, but still I will have that attitude to come back to my Father. My Father, it's not that I will be able to overcome sin the day I receive Jesus in my life, but what happens is when I fall, I have that eagerness to come run back to my Father and embrace Him. I have that eagerness to go back to God and tell Him that I have fallen, please cleanse me. That nature comes in my heart, and slowly but surely God is able to cleanse.
Thank God for her today. I was thinking, because 1 year passed, like January started last year also, we had one meeting, you know, like 31st meeting, and the second January started. I don't know others, but about myself, I can say, you know, like I plan God, from tomorrow onwards, the next new year, I'm going to do this, and I'm planning this, you know, in my life, and I want you to come near in my life, and so many things happened during the year, you know. I think the best part is, you know, to sit around for quite some time, you know, like sit in one corner and think, like, what I thought about, and then that's 1 year, what happened, and how I acted accordingly, you know. I was reading this thing about the sons of Israel, you know, when they're brought out of Egypt. And even then I read about, I was hearing David Wilkinson one video. You know, they were brought out from Egypt. They are made free. And they saw many miracles, you know, God doing the Nile turning into red blood. They saw the plague coming in. They saw the first ones dying. But in all the situations, things happening around, they were safe. Things were happening around. But they were safe. because God was there with them. And the part was, they came out, and came out of Egypt. And even God, when he planned the other way, you know, that they go to the wilderness and come to the Red Sea, and from there go to the promised land. But when they came to the Red Sea, and they saw when the they saw the Pharaoh's army coming in, they started doubting in their hearts. You know, why have you brought? If you read that verse in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 11. It says, then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in this wilderness? Why have you dealt us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not a word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we might serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Seeing so many miracles, you know, and things happening around, being safe all the time, and God bringing them out from Egypt, making them free people. And when they came to a place where, you know, God was going to see them through to the Red Sea, they doubted. So finished like that. Pharaoh has come and was going to kill us. But if you read the earlier part, when it says God, you know, he hardened the Pharaoh's heart, because he could show people one more miracle that he is there with them. But still before that, they said there was no, like, there were less graves in Egypt. Why you brought us to die over here? If you go back to the chapter, Exodus chapter 13. See, when they were leaving Egypt, if you go to verse 21. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. It says, the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give light that they may travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God was there. Like, he was before them, not behind them, but he was before them. You know, like a pillar in the cloud, and the night, a pillar of fire to show them the way that they could travel. You know, when God has promised to give us a new life, we came to know Christ, God has promised a new life, fellowship with Christ. There are, and when he has promised certain things, you know, like that this is going to happen in your life, it is going to happen. You know, and when he says this is going to be there, he'll see to that. He'll be before us to show us the way. You know, show us the way. To help us. If we fall down, he's there to help us, to pick us up and guide us to the path of righteousness. But if I doubt, you know, what will happen? It will really make God angry. If I think about my life, earlier life, how I came back, how I backslided, how I so many times. But God was faithful, you know, to bring me up, get me out of certain things in life, being that pillar in front of me, day and night. Not a single moment you can say, no, God is only there in the day, but he is there with me day and night. It's a promise from God, he'll always be there day and night to guide me. But how is my life? Like that 1 year that passed, you know, like that January to the 1st, to say today is December 25th. I just go back and see there are so many situations where God has helped me in many areas, you know, many areas. When I have fallen down, he picked me up. When I have sinned, he has forgiven me. But do I really have that faith in God? If you read Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who seek him. So if I want to really please God and really want to live the way, want to follow Him, I should have a faith and trust in God, no doubt in Him. But I should really have a trust in God. What you are doing in my life, I trust you. May the situation, the year ahead, situations may go bad. You know, I might have testing times. You know, I might be feel, there might be times where sometimes I feel lonely, but God, I'm going to trust you because you are there before me. You know, you're there to help me. I don't have that faith in God. The second part, if you read, it says, you know, like, first is, it says, if without faith is impossible. First, the faith part is there. Second part is given that He is. First, I know, like, in every situation, God is there. You know, He exists. I don't forget, like, you know, trying things, like, when situations come, I feel, no, I'm lonely, nobody should help me. No, God is there. God is there. Have that faith in my heart. You know, God, you are there. And the third part is, and those who seek Him, you know, I really seek Him. I don't live His life to, you know, like, really think about my own pleasures, you know, about my own likings, my own hobbies. But when I see that this one new life that God has given me, I live for Him. Then when I live for Him, then I'll see that this life, when I say, God, I want to live for Your will, I'll seek for His will. Every moment, you know, like when I have a new day in my life, I'll say, God, I want to learn from You. I don't know what to do today, but help me, you know. Help me to understand. Help me. Teach me Your ways. Teach me in certain situations where I find very hard, God, teach me how to act in this situation. You know? So when I have that fellowship, when I know that He is there with me. He is that pillar, the pillar of cloud by the day and the pillar of fire by night. He's always there, 24 hours with me. And God, I'll be really happy in my, I'll be joyful in my life. And second thing, there'll be a peace in my heart. Peace, that, you know, God is there with me. When trouble situations comes, I'm calm and quiet because that peace that comes from Him, that rules my heart. So I really pray that God will help us that this new year, what we have, you know, like 5 days, 6 days, I mean, that new day, that the new year comes. So it should be like, you know, like, God, this days are going fast. I'm waiting for You. Like that wise virgins, I'm waiting for You with the oil. I'm waiting for Your coming. And that this time which I have, God, I want to collect more oil. I want to collect more oil for You. That when the time comes, I'll be available. I'll be there with You always. May really God help us to have that life, you know. And being Christmas or second thing of being Christmas or New Year, I think every day, you know, think about that. When I go to sleep in the night and I wake up in the morning, that there's a new day in my life. That new day. We always wait 365, one year is going to pass, New Year. But no, every day there's a new day that God gives in our life, where we can really be, you know, we can really have that one more day in our life that we can please Him, you know, we can love Him, we can adore Him. May really God help us, you know, we can have that life that comes from Christ.
मैं प्रभु को बहुत धन्यवाद देता हूँ. सचमुच में प्रभु ने जो हमें ये कलीसिया दी है, ये परमेश्वर की योजना है जो ये कलीसिया को रखा है. इस कलीसिया के लिए मैं प्रभु को बहुत धन्यवाद देता हूँ. जैसे कि हम इन दिनों में परमेश्वर भाई के द्वारा जो वचन दे रहा है हमारे जीवन के लिए, ये बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है, क्योंकि हम देख रहे हैं कि अंतिम दिन है और प्रभु यीशु मसीह का आगमन बहुत जल्दी होने वाला है. तो हमें इससे अनजान नहीं रहना है. और जिस तरह से हमें सीख रहे हैं कि हम अपने आप को करेक्शन करना है, हम अपने जीवन को देखना है कि हम कहाँ गलत हैं, कहाँ पर गलती कर रहे हैं. तो इन दिनों में जो सुधार का जो परमेश्वर वचन दे रहा है, तो उसे हमें गंभीरता से लेना है. जैसे लिखा है कि अवसर को समझो, क्योंकि समय बहुत ही गलत है. तो हमें ये जो अवसर आ रहा है, जो ये समय आ रहा है, तो हमें इसको समझ के लेना है. क्योंकि पिछले टाइम लास्ट मंथ में जो प्रभु का वचन मिला था, यशाया उसका 1:3 वचन लिखा है, पहल तो बैल तो अपने मालिक को और गधा अपने स्वामी की चरनी को पहचानता है, परंतु इज़राइल मुझे नहीं जानता, मेरी प्रजा विचार नहीं करती। एक जानवर अपने मालिक को समझ सकता है, जैसे कि आज हमने सीखा है कि जब प्रभु यीशु मसीह पूछता है कि मैं कौन हूँ, तो पतरस ने, क्योंकि उसके जीवन में एक प्रकाश हो गया था, उसने सही उत्तर दिया। तो हमारे जीवन में भी ये प्रकाश आना चाहिए जो पतरस के जीवन में आया है, कि प्रभु यीशु मसीह जब पूछेगा कि तुम्हारा मालिक कौन है, तो हम क्या उत्तर देंगे। यदि हमारा मालिक प्रभु यीशु मसीह है, तो हमारा जीवन कैसा होना चाहिए, हमें किस तरह से अपने मालिक को पहचानना है और उसकी आज्ञा का पालन करना है। पिछले समय में सीखा था मैंने कि हम अपने अपने ही कामों के द्वारा, अपने ही पापों के द्वारा प्रभु यीशु मसीह से दूर हो जाते हैं। जब पतरस ने 3 बार इनकार किया, जबकि वो पतरस प्रभु यीशु मसीह के नज़दीक था, प्रभु यीशु मसीह के आश्चर्यक्रम उसने देखे थे, उसने सब कुछ जाना था कि ये प्रभु है, तो भी पतरस ने प्रभु को 3 बार इनकार किया। लेकिन जब वो परमेश्वर प्रभु यीशु ने उसकी तरफ देखा, तो गुस्से से नहीं देखा, एक ऐसी दया से देखा, एक ऐसी करुणा की नज़र से देखा कि उससे रहा नहीं गया। वो बाहर जा कर के फूट फूट कर रोया, पछताव किया कि मैंने ये क्या किया, मैंने अपने प्रभु को इनकार किया। तो हम भी अपने जीवन में शायद हम कोई गलत पाप नहीं करते हैं, लेकिन कुछ ऐसे काम करते हैं या ऐसे बोलने के द्वारा हम अपने प्रभु से दूर हो जाते हैं। मैंने भी अपने जीवन में एक बार एक भाई ने पूछा था कि आप कौन से प्रांत के, कौन से जाति के हो, तो मैंने गर्व से कह दिया कि मैं अमुक जाति का हूँ, क्योंकि हमें अपने उस पर घमंड आ जाता है। लेकिन जब ये वचन मुझे मिला, तो सचमुच में हम अपने बोलने के द्वारा प्रभु यीशु का इनकार करते हैं। वो टाइम मुझे गर्व से कहना चाहिए मैं मसीह हूँ, मैं क्रिश्चियन हूँ, मैं यीशु मसीह का बेटा हूँ। लेकिन इन बातों के द्वारा हम अपने प्रभु को इनकार करते हैं। जब मुझे ये वचन मिला, तो पिछले लास्ट संडे कुछ अस्वस्थ होने के कारण मैं नहीं आ पाया, लेकिन मैं घर में चुपचाप नहीं बैठा, मैंने तुरंत बाइबल ली, प्रार्थना करना शुरू किया। जब तक यहाँ प्रार्थना चल रही थी, मैं घर में ऐसे ही प्रार्थना में लवलीन रहा कि जो मुझे वचन मिला था, जो मुझे ब्रदर ने सिखाया था, मैं वही वचन खोल करके रिपीट करता हूँ, लिख लेता हूँ और वही दोबारा से मैं पढ़ता हूँ। तो मैं रोया और मैंने पछताव किया कि प्रभु मैंने तुझे इनकार किया। एक भाई के द्वारा जो उसने मुझे बोला कि तुम किस जाति के हो, तो मैंने अपने जाति धर्म बताता हूँ, लेकिन मैंने ये नहीं कहा कि मैं मसीह का हूँ, मैं यीशु मसीह का बेटा हूँ। मतलब हम अपने मालिक को नहीं पहचानते, हम जानवर से भी बदतर हो जाते हैं। ये डर, ये समाज का डर हमारे जीवन में आता है, ये हमारे जीवन में ऐसा कभी नहीं होना चाहिए। हमें गर्व से कहना है कि हम मसीह के हैं, हम प्रभु यीशु के हैं, हम उसके बेटा हैं। जैसे यूहन्ना में 1:12 में लिखा है कि जितने यीशु मसीह पर विश्वास किया वो परमेश्वर की संतान ठहरे। तो हम परमेश्वर की संतान है, हम किसी और की संतान नहीं है। हमें अपने पूरे हक से, पूरे दिल से कहना है कि मैं यीशु मसीह का बेटा हूँ। जब मैंने रो करके वहाँ पर पश्चाताप किया, तो सचमुच में यकीन मानना कि मेरे अंदर से ऐसी बहुत सारी चीज़ें निकल के ऐसा लग रहा था कि बहुत सारी चीज़ें जा रही हैं जो गलत हैं, और मैंने अपने आप को हल्का फुल्का महसूस किया। और तब से मेरे अंदर एक अलग ही नम्रता जो दिल में होनी चाहिए, जो हम अपने अंदर अनुभव लेते हैं, वो मैंने किया। और मैं अपने घर में भी वही प्रेम से, वही सब कुछ चाहता हूँ कि मेरे घर में, मेरे वैवाहिक जीवन में, मेरे बच्चों में अत्यंत प्रेम हो। क्योंकि जब हम घर को ही नहीं संभाल पाएंगे, घर में ही प्रेम नहीं कर पाएंगे, तो हम बाहर कैसे प्रेम करेंगे। तो इन दिनों में जो मैं अपने पत्नी से भी और अच्छे से व्यवहार करता हूँ, तो पत्नी बोलती है कि ऐसा लग रहा है कि आपके प्यार को देखकर कुछ डाउट आ रहा है। तो मैं बोला कि प्रभु बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद कि ये प्रेम का तूने मुझे बढ़ाया और उनको एहसास दिला रहा है, कि इसलिए मैं प्रभु को बहुत धन्यवाद देता हूँ। ये जो सुंदर वचन आ रहे हैं, जो हमारे जीवन के लिए हमें अत्यंत गहराई से हमें उसे लेना है, अपने जीवन में लागू करना है। ये जो करेक्शन के वचन है हमारे जीवन के लिए, हमें अपने आप को करेक्शन करना है। क्योंकि जैसे भाई ने बताया कि परमेश्वर को प्रसन्न करना एक अपने आप में अनहोना है। विश्वास नहीं है तो हम अपने परमेश्वर को प्रसन्न नहीं कर सकते। हमें अपने पवित्र वचन पर विश्वास करना है, और वैसे ही हमें जीवन जीने के लिए प्रभु से मांगना है कि हम अपने आप में तो निर्बल हैं, बहुत सारी चीज़ों में कमज़ोर हैं, लेकिन जब हम अपने परमेश्वर पर विश्वास करें कि यीशु मसीह मेरा मालिक है और वो मुझे बदल देगा, तो सचमुच में परमेश्वर हमारे जीवन में काम करता है। हम सबके जीवन में ऐसा ही काम करें, हम में एक आत्मा, एक प्रेम, और हम एक दूसरे को समझ के लें, यही प्रभु से हम प्रार्थना करता हूँ। धन्यवाद।